My friends all tease me that I am cheap. And though I prefer to think of myself as thrifty or frugal or even parsimonious, I'm afraid that they are right. I'm just cheap. I'm much more comfortable saving money than spending it. I rarely buy things that are not on sale, and my bank account always has lots of padding just for my own peace of mind. And the pleasures that I like best are the ones that don't cost very much. Ordinary meals out, good beer over fine wine, non-touristy trips and the like. At some deep level, I'm sure that I subscribe to the very Unitarian theology of salvation through good planning. At some deep level, I really do believe that a penny saved is a penny earned. But living economically for me is about something more than saving money. It is really about seeing the world around me. It is about not setting myself apart from other people. My parsimony comes from wanting to experience the world and not escape from it. On a recent trip with a friend to an out-of-the-way place in the part of Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula, we discovered the challenges of travel when your expectations differ. I'm sure you all have been there a time or two. My good friend, whom I will not embarrass this morning by naming here, let's just say she likes to travel at a somewhat higher level than I do. She likes nice hotels and fine restaurants. She drinks really good wine and has stylish clothes. A trip for her is a chance to be pampered. A trip for me is a chance to have an adventure. One morning, we decided to go up to an old fort that sits on a hill overlooking the city of Campeche. The fort was built in the 1700s by the Spanish to thwart pirates and is a marvelous example of colonial architecture. By cab, we could have gotten to the fort in about 20 minutes, and it would have cost us around $5 or so. But no, Howard had to go by public transportation. But no, this had to be a complete adventure. So my impeccably dressed friend found herself walking to a bus stop along a noisy, crowded street, looking for the old American school bus with its cracked windshield that would take us up to the fort. After a little bit, the right bus did come along. We paid 30 cents each and were jostled into our seats as the bus lurched forward. The next half hour was a riotous adventure as we climbed the hill through neighborhoods, stopping and starting to let passengers on and off, passengers all of whom looked at these two gringos like we had lost our minds. Did I mention that it was very hot on the bus? Did I mention that it was incredibly bumpy? Finally, after many twists and turns, we got to the top of the hill and the fort. As we scrambled off the bus, it lurched off down the street, merrily attending to its rounds. And we walked over a parched field of dried grass to the fort, which was closed for renovations. It's a good thing that I have friends who will put up with me, because there was not a taxi to be found anywhere at the top of that hill. There was nothing to do but plop ourselves down outside a little corner store and wait in the shade for the next bus to come along and take us back down the hill. Not speaking any Spanish herself, my friend decided that she would wait until we were safely back at the hotel before she strangled me. I bought us both an ice cream at the store. After a few minutes' wait, we heard the bus coming in the distance. With our 30 cents each, we climbed onto the bus when it ground to a halt at the stop. And then we recognized the grinning driver as the very one who had brought us up the hill in the first place, the very one that assured us that, yes, this was the right bus for the fort. We had not thought to ask if the fort was open or not. As if lost gringos were an ordinary part of his day, he took our money and we were off like a rocket back down the hill to where we had come from. No air-conditioned taxi ride could have been nearly as interesting. And even my friend had to admit that the trip to the fort that was closed had been an adventure. This life that we have been given is not to be lived safely. It is not to be kept padded and protected. It is not to be doled out bit by bit. This life that we have been given is to be spent exuberantly, but it is to be spent exuberantly on the things that matter. This life is an adventure destined to bring us into closer relationship with other people. It is an adventure to lead us into greater self-knowledge. It's an adventure to make real in the world our highest values. It is an adventure to see all around us the holy. The spending of ourselves and the spending of our money are two very different things. But when we spend both on the things that we love, we each will be changed for the better. I may be cheap about things, but I am not cheap about the things that matter. One of the best things about generosity is that you can't tell by looking at people if they're generous or not. Especially in churches and civic organizations, it's impossible to tell if the man in the Italian suit is more or less generous than the man in the overalls. It is impossible to tell if the woman wearing Chanel is just as extravagant in her charitable giving or not as the woman wearing blue jeans. Generosity is an inner quality that is rarely seen on the outside, but it matters. And generosity helps the giver just as much as it helps the receiver. Generosity is the source of outlandish miracles. It brings to pass unimagined goodness. And it was simple generosity that fed the 5,000 in our teaching tale. The story of the feeding of the 5,000 makes no sense if you take it at face value. Of course, it is impossible to share 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes with that many people. It would have been impossible even to haul enough food for that many from a nearby town if it even could have been purchased there. The miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 was in its organization. Remember that the wise rabbi told his friends to divide the crowd up into groups of about 50. In solving the problem, the rabbi knew that he had to get the crowd to see one another in more intimate groupings. They had to know one another. Once people knew their group better, the true miracle could happen. In groups of about 50, people began to share with one another. My guess is that the feeding of the 5,000 is one of the oldest recorded potlucks in history. People in the ancient Middle East did not leave their houses for a day in the countryside without packing a picnic. They knew better than the rabbi and his friends that there would be little or nothing to buy way out there. My guess is that once the 5 loaves and 2 fishes had been blessed, the small group ministry of sharing began. People opened their cloaks and their bags and brought forth dates and figs and cheese and wine. They brought forth more bread and more fish, so much more that when the whole meal was over, there were 12 baskets of leftovers. The wise rabbi did not magically multiply a little bit of food into a lot. He simply helped the people open their hearts to one another. Each week we say together as part of our benediction, hold on to what is good. We say it and we mean it, for there is much that is good here. There's much that is worth holding on to, from the fine legacy of this great old church to the civic values of Concord to the pride that we each can take in making Massachusetts and the United States a more tolerant, peaceful, and just place to live. There is much that is good. There is much to hold on to. And this morning, I'm also here to say to you that it is not enough to simply hold on. The good that we find here must be built on. It must be shared. We must take the fine old history of this congregation and make it fresh for our times. We must build onto what is good. We must imagine a future that embraces people that we have not even met yet. Since 1636, First Parish in Concord has stood on this piece of ground and declared itself a moral compass to its community. It stood here to live in friendship with the Native Americans. It stood here to resist King Philip's war. It stood here to see British soldiers march down Lexington Road and then flee back to Boston by the way they came. First Parish has stood against slavery and against the war in Mexico. It has stood for women's intellectual rights and women's suffrage. It has seen its theology grow and change. It has seen its buildings be remodeled and even burned completely to the ground. First Parish has known a long line of ministers who have simply tried to lead it as well as they were able. It has known the trauma of war, the Civil War, two world wars, Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, and others. This church has seen new civil rights for people of color and same-sex couples. Through it all, First Parish has helped its children grow, helped its elders die well, emboldened its members for service in the wider world, and comforted thousands upon thousands. Through it all, it has mattered that First Parish has stood here, radiantly upholding its values, stubbornly keeping its doors open to all. This is the good that we must build on. And what might we build? The good news is that this is entirely up to us. Together, we could do any number of things. We could make a difference in the lives of the working poor that live in and around Concord. We could find ways to better enrich the lives of seniors or teenagers or people who are living with mental illnesses. We could lead the movement to slow global warming. We could increase our visibility at the UUA. We could become a destination for pilgrims following the Transcendentalists. We could partner with other houses of worship in Concord. We could do so many things, things that we have not even imagined yet. To build onto what is good will mean that we trust one another to be able to figure out what is next when the time comes. To build onto what is good will mean to use our congregation's history as a foundation and to continue to go up from there. How lucky we are to have this incredible potential. Remember how I said I was cheap, but not when it mattered? Well, it matters today. I may prefer a 30-cent bus ride over a $5 taxi, but this playful frugality does not translate to my charitable giving to this congregation. This morning, I am pledging $6,000 to First Parish in Concord for the 2014-15 fiscal year. $6,000 for me simply represents 5% of my gross income, and I am proud to be able to give this generously to a church that is making a difference in the world. Knowing that generosity is generosity, I ask you this morning to be simply as generous as I am. Your pledge amount might be higher or lower than mine, but your generosity need not be any less. This morning is not the time to be cheap. It is not the time to be stingy. It is not the time to be selfish. This morning, we are building onto what is good. We are declaring our solidarity with one another. This morning, let it be known that this congregation is generous. As soon as everyone had been seated, he took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, broke, blessed, and gave the bread and the fish to his friends to hand out to the crowd. After the people had all eaten their fill, 20 baskets of leftovers were gathered up. So be it. Amen.